And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
Welcome aboard, everyone. We're going to take you around the world of sports today. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Today is Wednesday, September 28th. I'm Gino. I'm here with Darren. I'm here with Kevin. You can listen to us anywhere you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, send us posts, thoughts, questions. Today we're going to start with some New York baseball. Well, we have two big things going on. The Yankees staying hot. Judge just hit 61. And the Mets trying to hang on to first place. Kev, why don't you take us away?
Yeah, I had all this Aaron Judge stuff ready to go, talk about how he's been since he hit number 60. And about 20 minutes before we started this podcast, number 61 up in Toronto. Laser shot. What's funny about it to me is when you should see the replays, the guy with the two guys with the gloves and went just below them and bounced into the Toronto bullpen. Somebody lost out on $1 million.
Interesting question, Kevin. If you caught it, would you give it back? Particularly if it was a Met. Particularly if, say it was one of your guys. Would you give it back or would you try to sell it?
Knowing I've got one in college and two more on the way, I need the money.
I got you. Gino, what would you do?
Not even a question. I'm selling it.
You know what's funny? The Maguire one. You guys remember that, right? When Maguire hit the home run and the guy was willing to do it, give him the ball back if he he could just meet Maguire. Maguire refused. And instead of just getting a bat, a signed bat, a signed hat, I think, and meeting with Maguire, he ended up selling it for a boatload. So, you know, that's the way it goes. Anyway, sorry, Kev.
No, so number 99, 61 years after number 9 hit 61, Judge hit 61. Just numbers are just, I don't even know the word.
Out of this world.
Out of this world, yep. So this is on top of Tuesday night when the Yankees clinched the AL East. The Cardinals clinched the NL Central, so 5 of the 6 divisions are clinched. Before we get to the 6th one, any other thoughts about the Yankees?
Looks like they're coming together. I feel like the bats are starting to wake up a little bit. Looks like they're getting the pitching going, the starting pitching. I think they probably need to get their bullpen in order, figure out what they want to do as we start getting closer to the playoffs. I think that'll start handling itself. Darren?
Well, my thing is this. When you look at the Yankee lineup, there's only one guy in that lineup hitting over 260 that's a regular player, and that's kind of Falefa. Okay? I mean, he's hit like 263, 264. Nobody on this lineup has hit all season. It makes Judge that much more amazing for what he's doing right now. It's unreal. They had to bat him lead off. They had to play him in center field. This is a 6'7" Clydesdale that's playing out in center field. That's a power hitter leading off to get the extra at bats because nobody else on this team can get on base. Torres is starting to hit now, which is nice to see. Donaldson's got a couple clutch shots. Stanton hits a home run usually when the game's out of reach for the most part, except for last week when he hit the dramatic shot. It's even more amazing to watch him with nobody around him in that lineup. Kev?
That's why, as great as Ohtani is, and we've said this on previous podcasts, this is why Aaron Judge is the MVP of the American League this year. Hands down. He has to be. That lineup without him is not good.
He's a triple crown. Right now he's the leader for the triple crown with a week to go.
Plus, you know, the typical, the old-fashioned triple crown, home runs, RBIs, average, slugging, on base, OPS, run scored, total bases. I mean, you name the stat, he leads if not the American League, you know, some of them maybe even the major leagues.
100% right.
This guy has to be the MVP.
I don't even think it's that close. But I know Tony's amazing, and I don't think it's that close.
Yeah. Ohtani will be in the discussion every year, but it's going to take performances like this to beat Ohtani. And to me, this is one of those special years.
I agree. I think it's a special performance like this being put on by Judge that's what takes out the Ohtani argument. And Ohtani's numbers are amazing. I mean, on both sides, from the pitching side and the hitting side. But when you have something like this going on, Triple Crown, he's right now winning the Triple Crown. He is setting the American League home run record. I mean, it's just insane right now.
So Kev, get to the most important thing for you, Kev. Let's go Mets. What do you got?
Oh, can this team make it any harder on themselves?
Is it just me, or is it Florida every year, by the way? Does Florida always bother this team, or does it just seem that way to me? I don't know.
I hate seeing the Marlins in September. as we're recording this, it is Marlins 4, Mets 2, bottom of the 8th, 2-1, no out. Braves, Washington, tied at 2, bottom of the 8th. Since September 1st, when the Mets started playing this easy schedule, they are only 13-10. The Braves are 16-7 to take the 3 games off and force a tie. And Braves have also included games with Seattle, at San Fran, 7 games with Philly. They've had a more difficult schedule. The Mets, why do they have to make it so hard on themselves? Getting swept by the Cubs, losing last night to the Marlins, maybe losing again tonight to the Marlins. They could have had this division wrapped up if they played, you know, even 15-8 against the schedule. They're up 2 games. The important thing, and the way the tiebreaker works this year, where it's season record for the tiebreak, it's no longer game 163. You no longer have the playoff game. If the Mets win 1 game in Atlanta, they have the season series at least 10-9. But the way they're going to need to win 2 out of 3 in Atlanta. And it's going to be the 3 aces for the Mets: DeGrom, Scherzer, and Bassett in some order. And right now it looks like Fried, Wright, and Morton for the Braves. Strider's on the DL. And I forget who else they were missing.
I mean, basically, it's the top 3 for each one right now.
But right now,
Bassett kicks off Friday night against Fried. That's the kickoff, and then I believe it's DeGrom Saturday against Wright. Sunday is Scherzer against Morton.
I know you're screwing with other people if you do this. Scherzer could start Friday on regular rest, which would make him available Wednesday, the last day of the season, on regular rest. Would you do that? Would you change the rotation and get 2 starts out of Scherzer?
I think Bassett's been pretty good. I mean, if we were talking about Taijuan Walker, I'd say yes. I think that the Mets are going to need Bassett to go far into the playoffs. I don't think that this isn't a Ricky Vaughn against moment where we're going with the veteran here. He's had a little more success against the Yankees. I think Bassett's been good enough where you kind of trust him. I don't know. To me, he reminds me of the Ojeda on the 86 team, you know?
Yep.
18-5, you know, all the good stuff. Doesn't get hit hard. G, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you guys. I mean, this is the way that they're going to have to play it this way. They're going to have to deal with the consequences after, because at the moment, the only thing that needs to be on Showalter's mind is just making sure he wins the division and is not in that wild card round again. And then, you know, God forbid you run into a pitching buzzsaw and get knocked out. But if you do get past, then you wind up facing the Dodgers. It's something that needs to be handled. You need to handle it as best you can now to avoid that situation. So,
and of course, this is all subject to what goes on this weekend in Atlanta. Our thoughts with everybody down in Florida and everybody affected by Hurricane Ian.
I know baseball series could be moved. Yeah, you know. I mean,
I know baseball takes second priority here. But we're a sports podcast, and we're talking just from a sports perspective, and just trying to figure out what's going to happen this weekend if the rain affects things. if they have to play a doubleheader Sunday, if they wind up playing next Thursday, if the game is necessary, if it gets rained out, which is an off day before the playoffs start. Now you're really putting yourself in a disadvantage if you don't win the division.
Absolutely.
Any other Mets thoughts?
Like we said, it really comes down to the Mets having to take 2 out of 3 this weekend. I think the team that takes 2 out of 3 wins it. Yep. The Mets end with the Nats at home. The Braves have to go to Florida. I don't think Florida gives the Braves as much trouble as they give the Mets, just my opinion.
No.
I don't think the Nats are really a team that are going to give anybody a lot of trouble, even though they're battling the Braves right now. You know, so it'd be interesting to see if they could steal another one for you, which would be pretty good. And the NL wild card really is the final question, I guess, of which 2 of the 3 teams are going to get in.
Well, we've got the Padres who have won 8 of 10. They've opened up a 2.5 game lead over Philly for the 5th spot. So I think the Padres look very safe now. Phillies are 1.5 games up by Milwaukee. Phillies lost 7 of the last 10, but Milwaukee can only play 5 and 5. They're still 1.5 games back.
And as of right now, Philly is losing in the 6th 4-1, and Milwaukee is winning 1-0. So
that cut it to a half.
Yeah, that 1.5 could be a half by the end of the night.
And the Padres are playing the Dodgers, which they have not done well with. They have 2 more. They won last night. They got 2 more in this series. Very hard to not see them losing 2 out of 3 just because that's pretty much been the season for the Pods against the Dodgers. They've owned them. They like to call it a rivalry, but it's never a rivalry when one team always beats the other. It's kind of a beatdown.
Yeah. And
that's kind of what the Dodger-Padre series has been.
Over the American League, I think we've got the 3 wildcard teams. Toronto's up 1.5 games over Tampa, who's up 1.5 games over Seattle. And Baltimore, 3.5 back. The White Sox have totally fallen off. They've lost 7 in a row going into Wednesday's game. So it's just a matter of whichever order. Does Toronto hang on and get the 4 seed, which gets them the 3 games at home in the wild card round or not?
Baltimore is just going to try to. Baltimore is just hanging in for dear life at the moment. But listen, just the fact that they've hung around at this point is a huge step in the right direction for that ball club. So,
listen, they sold at the deadline. They sold, and they hung around. So the Mets have made this interesting here in the bottom of the 8th. I mean, anyway, they're juiced with 1 out, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. Also, just on that, quick question for both of you. I'll start with you, G. So do you want to play the Guardians or do you want to play the Blue Jays? I mean, does it matter if you're the 5 or the 6 in the American League?
At this moment, no. So normally I probably would have said I don't want to play the Blue Jays. But considering how hot the Guardians are, I don't know if I want to play them right now. They are just on fire. They are hitting. They are pitching. They're getting contributions from everybody on that team. We thought originally it was going to be the Jose Ramirez show, and it still is. But everybody is contributing on that team. So right now, I'm not sure it matters which one of those guys you get right now. Kev?
Yeah, Cleveland's gotten hot. They have really played well in September here. I agree with Gino. It's really a toss-up at this point.
Well, the Yankees clinched the 2, so they're going to get the bye, so to speak. Now let's see if the Mets can do the same thing. That's really where we're at. Hopefully they can rally here in the inning. Yes, Kev?
Back to the Mets for 1 second. DeGrom, last start, not good. 2 starts ago, tired in the 5th or 6th inning. Any concern about DeGrom?
Yeah. To be honest, yeah. I just don't know if he's been, listen, he hasn't pitched a full season in a long time. He hasn't pitched this late in the season in a long time. I wonder if there's some fatigue. The funny thing is that putting them together and Scherzer and DeGrom, and Scherzer's had an amazing career. DeGrom a little less so far because he hasn't pitched as long. And you always thought DeGrom was just a little bit better because Scherzer would have those great games where he gave up 3 hits and they were all like, and they gave up 3 runs with those 3 hits, give up a home run somewhere, while DeGrom didn't do that. But right now, you just don't know how deep DeGrom's going to be able to go in games and how consistent he's going to be.
Yeah, we'll get to it a little bit later. I was out Saturday, and I just happened to be looking at scores, and I saw DeGrom's line. And I saw 4 innings, 5 runs, 4 walks. And this guy has walked 4 guys in his first 9 starts this year. And I'm joking around telling my son, well, yeah, it was probably Angel Hernandez behind the plate. Wake up the next morning, it was Angel Hernandez behind the plate.
And there we are. I do think though that the Mets top two are better than anybody else's top two if they're pitching anywhere close. That's just my take.
I agree. I just at the moment we don't look like we're getting the top notch DeGrom that we're used to getting. Hopefully we'll see it once the playoffs start, but at this moment I don't think we could say that. So. Any other baseball thoughts, gentlemen? All right. Let's go into the NFL. So another good week in the NFL, week 3 in the books, week 4 coming up. Week 3 had some good games, some not so good games. I'll mention a couple, and then we'll get into a couple of other talks. Cleveland took care of business, and Arizona took Cleveland took care of business, Atlanta took care of business. Chicago won a close game against Houston. Tennessee took care of the Raiders. The Raiders moved to 0-3. Denver beat San Francisco 11-10. And by the way, 2008 was the last time that was a final score in a football game. Minnesota took care of Detroit. And that was after by 4, 28-24. And that was after Detroit was up by 10 going after into the fourth quarter. From there, we'll get into some games that we need to talk about. We saw Green Bay have a good game and beat Tampa. It was a big battle of NFC teams. This one goes to Green Bay. Tampa Bay was all banged up. Evans was suspended. Darren, any thoughts on that game?
You know, that game was hard to watch, actually. Green Bay scored early. Tampa Bay scored the first 3 points. Well, I think there was 3-0, then Green Bay went up 14-3. Green Bay had amazing, just amazing field position the whole second half. It couldn't do anything. Kevin is lost now because the Mets just tied it up and he's all excited. But Eduardo Escobar driving in all 4 runs tonight, the new hero. After was it a McNeil that popped up, the best hitter on the team? McNeil Eduardo comes through. Anyway, we'll get away from that because now Kevin is all excited. But the Tampa Bay Green Bay game just showed you that these quarterbacks need talent around them because neither team could run the ball. Both defenses played very well, but at the same time, Rodgers and Brady, neither one had magic. You know, okay. Neither one had magic. Yeah, Kev.
I think you had the 2 games back-to-back. You had the Green Bay-Tampa, which was 14-12, which I felt was a terrific defensive effort by both teams. Denver 11-10 over San Fran, I thought was pathetic offense.
I'll give you that, but at the same time, I don't think that either quarterback played exceedingly well and put their teams in positions. I saw a lot of passes short of the first down sticks for Green Bay. I thought Rodgers was settling for checkdowns. I know Tampa's defense is good, but they play a freaking zone. You know, throw the ball, throw a button hook. You know, throw a dig route. Do something beyond the lines, but beyond the first down marker. I do agree Tampa was missing Evans, missing Godwin, missing all their weapons. Green Bay just doesn't have them. Yeah. The funny part about it is, and we'll get to this team later, you know, he misses Devontae Adams so much, it's obvious. Devontae Adams is 0-3 in Las Vegas. You think he misses Rodgers? I'm just saying, I think it's a combo of two guys that really, really played well together. And now Rodgers doesn't necessarily have an answer he can count on outside of throwing the ball to Tanyan. He has nobody else he counts on. But you're right. The offense in the second game was fantastic. It was awful. It was brutal to watch the Seattle San Francisco game. It was put me to sleep.
Yeah.
It was just horrible. Anyway, I'm sorry.
And the great Jimmy Garoppolo backpedaling, stepping out of bounds on the pass rush.
Yeah. What a difference a week makes, right? Last week we're sitting there talking about Flacco and Garoppolo. Like they're the next coming. Garoppolo showed, you know, Flacco showed who he was, and we'll talk about him later. Garoppolo is a winning quarterback in a lot of ways, but at the same time, he's not one that's going to go down there and win the game for you. He's going to manage it for you, and you saw the difference on Sunday. Jake?
Okay. Next up, we had Jacksonville laying a smackdown on the Chargers, 38-10. The Chargers look like starting to look like one of those teams that are just going to get riddled with injuries all year. They're not going to get anything going. That's what it's looking like right now. But at the same time, Jacksonville is looking really good offensively and defensively. Trevor Lawrence is looking real comfortable back there all of a sudden. Big change in a one-year time frame with the different coach, that's for sure. You guys have anything to add on that?
I think you summed it up. The Trevor Lawrence has made the big jump from year one to year two, and I think going from Urban Meyer to Doug Peterson. Let's remember, he's a Super Bowl coach.
Yep.
For all his
– no,
you're right. Philly wanted to get rid of him quickly, but he won the Super Bowl, and now he's showing that he's an offensive mind, and he's got a quarterback who, like I said, has taken the big leap in the second year.
I mean, to me, the two-headed running game looks impressive also. The Robinson ETN looks really, really good. The two receivers, Christian Kirk, showing he was worth the money. And the Jacksonville defense is what we're not talking about. But that's Herbert over there. That's not. I mean, I know he's banged up. That's Herbert. I mean, they lost their left tackle. Like you said, Gino, the injuries are starting to come around. But Herbert doesn't get held to 10 points and throw for less than 200 yards and throw for one touchdown. That doesn't happen to this kid. Jacksonville's defense, putting pressure, playing good in the secondary. It's a pretty solid team.
Okay, moving around, Philadelphia takes care of Washington 24-8. Big story here is Philadelphia starts off the season 3-0. Jalen Hurts looking like one of the MVP candidates at the moment. Next up, we had Carolina with a 22-14 win over New Orleans. Is Carolina starting to look like a really good team now? I mean, I know Baker should be better, but their defense is really good. McCaffrey is going to run the ball. I don't know. I feel like they're the team that's just going to kind of go slowly into this. But I think little by little, I think that's a team that could really do well. Do you guys have anything to add on those?
I think that game was more the Saints playing poorly.
Okay.
Three turnovers, two picks by Winston. Kamara fumbled, which was returned for a touchdown by Carolina. A blocked field goal and a missed field goal also for the Saints. Saints outgained the Panthers by 130 yards and still came up 8 points short.
Yep. Yeah.
For me, it's simple. Mayfield was 12 for 25. This is a quarterback controversy as soon as Darnold's able to come back. I'm not saying either one is good. I'm just saying that Baker is just showing that he's not the answer. And just to touch on the Philly-Washington game, one thing that scares me about Philly is they're dominating teams, and they're not putting up 30 points. They put up 24 again this week. They sacked Wentz 9 times. You know, Devontae Smith had 170 yards in receiving. You know, A.J. Brown looks really good out there as well. Goddard scored a touchdown. And yet, for some strange reason, they find a way to self-destruct. The play calling in big spots is weird on that team. It's not the talent. It's the play calling. Just me. They should be putting up 35 points instead of 24 when they dominate a team that much. Back to you, G.
Okay, and next up would be Indy beating Kansas City. 2017, Indy's showing a little life. Kansas City, it looked like they just had too many mistakes. That Mahomes was okay, but you know, you saw him get into a little controversy there with Bieniemy on the sidelines. I'm not sure if they're on the same page all the time. You guys have anything to add on that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Chiefs. Went to Kelce in the first half pretty well. Then they stopped. Not really sure. Colts are a good defensive team. Matt Ryan isn't really doing much. The Chiefs in the first punt of the game, Sky Moore fumbled it. The Colts got the ball inside the five, able to kind of punch it in. For the most part, the Chiefs are probably a little bit of the better team and even defensively played really well for the most part. Just a lot of miscues, very sloppy game. The Colts came out, you know, they needed the game. They didn't play great, but they did enough to win it. And tells you that that AFC West is not nearly as good as we said it was all going to be in the beginning of the season.
Yeah. We, as Jet fans, we had the experience of living through Amendola as our kicker. He kicked for the Chiefs. One day he was cut.
He was cut. Early Monday he was cut.
Okay. Baltimore takes care of New England, 37-26. Mac Jones went down with an injury. Lamar throws for 4 touchdowns. He runs for another one, throws. He's all over the place. He's doing everything. You know, at this moment, he is probably the MVP. I know it's only 3 games in, but right now he is just looking far and away like the class right now. Anything from that?
Well, okay. I'll give you one thought here. Okay. Lamar Jackson has more touchdowns that he's accumulated than 30 teams in the NFL. That just either he rushed it or threw it. 30 teams. The only team that has outdone the biggest surprise, only team that's outdone Lamar is the Detroit Lions. Yeah. It's just funny how that works out. But he is playing great. Again, he's not, again, not the best thrower of the football, but Mark Andrews looks like the real deal. And the other thing is the Raven defense scares you a little bit because the Pats were in that game. It was 31-26 late. You know, Mac Jones went down. He threw 3 picks. He wasn't very good. And the Brian Hoyer, era begins. And now we know, I think, why the Patriots never named an offensive coordinator, because with Josh McDaniels 0-3 already in Vegas, they finally figured they can get him back by midseason. Back to you, G.
Okay, now we'll move on to one of the big games. Miami beat Buffalo 21-19. Miami moves to 3-0. Some big numbers, some big stuff coming out of that game. I mean, Buffalo, the time of possession, they controlled the ball for 40 minutes to Miami's 19 and change. They ran a total of 90 plays. Miami only ran 39, but Miami comes away with the victory.
497 to 212 total yards. Incredible. But you had first quarter, you had Josh Allen fumble. Miami recovers at the 6, punches in for a touchdown. You had Buffalo miss a field goal. You had Buffalo with 2.5 left, first and goal to 2. Get stuffed. Biggest play of the game, though, is probably, I know a lot of the joking about, you know, the punt. That went off the upback's back and
the butt punt.
The butt punt for the safety. That probably helped Miami out because he gave him the free kick from the 20. He crushed that, and Buffalo started the 23. Now you only need the field goal then, but we all know with when you're snapping from the 1, you've got no room. Chances are Buffalo's going to get the ball inside the 40. And yeah. You'd rather need a touchdown drive from the 40 with 1.5 minutes left.
Yeah.
Another big play for me. I'm sorry, G. Go ahead.
No, another thing that happened in that game, just to mention, is Tua went down. His head really kind of bounced off the turf. He was only set out a couple of plays, came back in the second half. There's a whole controversy. They're talking about what it is, if he should have been in concussion protocol. We'll see what happens with that. But, Darren, go ahead.
Well, also at the half, the Bills had the ball with a long field goal attempt. They went for the fake spike and tried to throw it, and the clock ran out. And they didn't get a playoff there. Again, 500 yards to 200 yards of the slaughter, 40 minutes to 19. Tua was 13 for 18. Tyreek Hill only caught the ball twice. And yet they did enough to win. Sack, 4 sacks they had on Allen. And here's the thing. There was no doubt in my mind. I thought the Bills were going to win when they got the ball back at the 23. I really did. Josh Allen's become that kind of quarterback where I expect him to lead them down the field for a field goal.
Yeah.
Maybe they lose, but that's about it. I expected them to get that done, and he did not. So he's one of those quarterbacks I have confidence in. Kev, you were just making a motion.
Yeah, the holding. They had 2nd and 10. They got into the Miami 43. Mm-hmm. The big hold, and then the next play was the completion, and didn't get out of bounds, and ended the game.
Pretty much,
they were 1 completion, a short completion from field goal range.
That's one of the things with Allen that you notice. He's not great with clock because he's trying to always scramble and make a play. And sometimes he's not smart enough just to get rid of it, you know, and just live to play another down. He's trying to make a play back there, and the hold was definitely brutal. But he's, you know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't get sacked, or he's not in that pressure. He gets rid of it. Brady gets rid of it. Allen will be there, and he gets rid of it. Mahomes gets rid of it most of the time. I mean, that's where he has to be in his next step.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the two New York teams. I'll go to the Monday night game first. Dallas beats the Giants 23-16. Dallas continuing to prove the Geno hot take wrong. Cooper Rush doesn't look too bad. I don't know. I think they played a good game. I think they're still, in my book, questionable to make the playoffs. But we're going to see how this goes. The Giants continue to just be so-so. The offensive line is horrible. There's a lot of problems. I know Dallas is good defensively, but they were just getting through. It was like paper they were getting through that line. One thing I just want to add before you guys get into it, a Mr. PC at my work is convinced that the Giants can win at least 8 games. I told him he was nuts. I think that's probably too high, you know. But this is what happens when you get off to a 2-0 start. But we'll see what happens. Guys, anything with the Giants? Kev?
Yeah, I thought they were not a legitimate 2-0 team. Daniel Jones, still not impressive as a quarterback, not impressive passing the ball. Under 200 yards passing. Does scramble, has 79 yards rushing, but you feel like you want him sitting in the pocket trying to throw because he has not proven yet that he is that class of quarterback. For the Cowboys, after the big drop earlier in the game, boy, that CeeDee Lamb catch was nice.
Well, I will tell you, Mr. PC, that's how I'll be referring to him, is convinced that Daniel Jones is probably the quarterback next year. Again, I don't really see that's going to happen. Darren, what do you
think? Well, here's the thing. Well, you guys heard me talk about Josh Allen about 2 minutes ago, that I thought he was going to win it. When the Giants got the ball back down 23-16 with 2 minutes to go, I knew I could have shut off the TV. There was no chance Daniel Jones is getting the Giants down the field. He just is not that quarterback. I don't know if I've ever seen Daniel Jones with a come-from-behind victory. I don't think I have. And that's just the sign of like a mediocre quarterback. He's going to be a nice backup in this league for a few years. Geno, great job with that hot take a couple weeks ago. Cowboys are clearly dead. The defensive line was rushing like crazy. You're right. The offensive line was like tissue paper. Sterling Shepard goes down. He's out for the year now. He's, you know, a couple of the Giant receivers a little bit banged up. But the fact of the matter is, outside of Saquon Barkley, there's really not a lot of bright spots on this team. And I think the secondary, for the most part, plays pretty well. It's just that the Giants are, you know, they're just not a team where you sit there and you say, wow, outside of Saquon, that there's a star I want to watch play. They're solid all over the place. They're just not really – nobody's really great. And I think that's what holds them up. CeeDee Lamb, a couple of drops. I thought the officials were awful in this game, by the way. There was an offensive interference call on Sterling Shepard where he ran a pattern. There was what's it called? They called a personal foul against the Cowboy because the ball was being thrown at him and he slapped it back and they got to the referee. I mean, there was a couple of weird calls, but overall, I just thought that the better team won the game.
Okay, and the other New York team, the Cincinnati Bengals, 27, and the Jets, 12. Burrow throws for 3 touchdowns. Kev, why don't you take it away?
Do I have to?
You do not. I can pass that on to Darren if you like.
Oh, that was depressing to watch. The Bengals scoring touchdowns, the Jets settling for field goals. Felt like the Jets never tried to establish the run game until the second half when they were trailing. 2 key moments, down 17-6. You feel like they need a score late in the second quarter. Because they do get the ball at the end after the halftime. And Flacco throws the interception, sets up the field goal to make it 20-6. First drive in the third quarter, fumble, recovered at the 24, touchdown, 27-6, game over.
Yeah, I mean, listen, when you watch this game, you know, yardage-wise, all the stats are somewhat even, right? Joe Flacco is what Joe Flacco is. You know, everybody loved him in the Cleveland game. For the first 58 minutes of that game, Joe Flacco threw for 179 yards and barely above 50%. Then they had a blown coverage, and he was excellent in the final drive. The thing about it is you can't turn it over four times in a game. Flacco fumbled twice, threw two picks, and you don't expect a veteran quarterback to be a statue back there and not feel rushed. And you also don't expect the veteran quarterback to make bad passes. And both interceptions were bad passes. I just don't. I'm happy that Wilson will be back this week. Listen, Cincinnati, you know, we're waiting for them to kind of explode. They're supposed to be a good team, and they are. But I was very disappointed watching this team play. The offensive line, also every tackle on them, now we're down to tackles 5 and 6. I mean, it's like the top four are all hurt. Tomlinson, who was the big free agent signing, is getting graded horribly every week. He's probably the worst offensive lineman we have, while Mitchell has become the best offensive lineman, the fourth-round rookie. It's just behind Elijah Vera, he's been the best one, but Mitchell's been real good also. But that left side has been horrible.
Any other notes from week three before we move on to a little week four preview?
No, I think the Garoppolo Flacco thing was the biggest thing for me, that neither quarterback, they showed who they were in week three.
Okay, so a couple of games from week four we're going to be watching. Thursday night, the 3-0 Miami Dolphins take on at Cincinnati. Cincinnati at 1-2. Cincinnati -3.5 point spread. We have a London 9:30 a.m. game Sunday. Minnesota takes on New Orleans. The big game of the day is probably going to be Buffalo at Baltimore. Both teams 2-1. Buffalo a 3.5 point spread favorite. They will be looking to take out Lamar Jackson, and I'm sure after the loss to the Dolphins, they're going to come out strong. Jacksonville, the 2-1 Jacksonville Jaguars are going to be at Philly at 3-0. Philly's at a 6-point spread. That spread started at 6.5. It's down to 6, which means there's a lot of action going on against Jacksonville on the Jacksonville side right now. Kansas City's at Tampa Bay. That'll be a Sunday night game. I'm sure that'll get plenty of viewers with Mahomes versus Brady. Evans will be back. The Rams play the Niners on Monday. And for the local teams, the Steelers are at the Jets, and the Giants will be in Chicago.
Steelers, Jets is the other way.
No, the other way around for both.
Jets are on the Jets are on the road. The Giants are home.
Correct. Sorry about that.
Start with the local, the big Bears Giants game. Josh Fields, 297 passing yards. That's not an average. That's not in one game. That's in three games. He is averaging 99 yards passing a game. Have you ever seen a quarterback through 3 weeks averaging 99 yards?
Not since Tebow.
However,
to be honest, that was the last time I saw somebody that couldn't throw.
Yeah.
Against the Giants, all they may need to do is run the ball anyway.
That's true.
Any other highlights for you guys going into week four?
I got a few, but any other games you want to touch on, Kev, first?
No,
you want me to jump in?
Go ahead, Darren.
Well, here's the thing, okay? You brought up Miami-Cincinnati. Cincinnati is a surprising favorite. I think it's that Thursday night home thing where, you know, it's a short week. Tua's not sure how well Tua feels. Miami didn't play great last week, and Cincinnati did. It should be a high-scoring game. New Orleans – oh, yeah, sorry, Kev.
I was going to say, is they're favored by 4?
I have it at 4 now this morning. It was 3.5 and 4. It's been fluctuating.
How are they more than a field goal favorite? I mean, one thing I thought Miami should win, I would think. But, you know, it's that Thursday night game. It's always fluky on the Thursday night. But how is Cincy more than a field goal favorite?
I'm going to tell you right off the bat. And that is, it is short rest, and the Dolphins were on the field for 90 plays.
Okay.
And that's a big thing with this line, I'll tell you right now.
The road team on Thursday generally doesn't do well once the season gets going.
Yep.
It just generally doesn't. Minnesota-New Orleans is, two teams we both kind of all liked, actually, the beginning of the season. Both teams trying to find their way. Minnesota escaped against Detroit. Detroit was the better team last week. New Orleans, Winston's thrown five interceptions the last 2 weeks. He's got to clean it up. Or maybe we have to start seeing a little bit more of Hill as the quarterback and just running the ball. You want to see another quarterback that averages 99 yards passing per week? Taysom Hill will be the guy. Buffalo, Baltimore, probably the game of the day. It's got to be offensive. The thing is that Baltimore's a three-point dog at home. And I'm not saying that Buffalo isn't the better team. I just find it to be an odd spread again. I would think it would be no worse than a pick 'em, just because Baltimore's a good team as well. Just that's how much respect everybody has for Buffalo. It should be a shootout. Allen, if the Bills can defensively can figure out a way to slow up Lamar Jackson, Buffalo wins this game by 10 points. I don't know if that's going to happen.
I got a great player prop for you on that game, and that is you could take Lamar Jackson and Stephon Diggs to both score a touchdown in the game, and it's at plus 380 right now.
There you go.
Wow.
It's good odds.
Yeah.
Jacksonville, Philly, are the Jags for real? This is the test, okay? Peterson returns home to Philly where he won a Super Bowl. I don't know if Jacksonville can go coast-to-coast road games back-to-back. I do think Philly will actually cover it. Spreads about 6.5 there. Denver and the Raiders, two bad teams, actually. Even though Denver's 2-1, they have been uninspiring 2-1. They've won two games by scoring 27 points and outscoring their opponents 27-19. Not really good and a little surprising at how bad Russell Wilson has looked, especially with the weapons that they have. We said the O-line might be a problem beginning of the year, and it seems like it might just be, but we'll see as we go. I think the Raiders will find their way this week to get a win. Just a thought. Mahomes versus Brady. This game could move to Minnesota depending on the storm. Brady all-time 3-2 against Mahomes. Last time they played each other, he blew him out. I think it's Mahomes' only ever blowout loss. I think it'll be a closer game. I'm surprised the Chiefs are favored on the road in this one, to be honest. They're a two-point choice on the road. Mike Evans coming back is a big difference. The Chiefs' secondaries look good so far. Be interesting to see how these two teams play out. The Rams and the 49ers, this is the big Monday night rivalry. Neither team has looked great yet. I mean, the 49ers defense looks real good. They really do. The Ram offense, the Cooper Kupp looks like, still the best receiver in the league. But overall, I don't think either team has put this thing together. San Francisco's a slight favorite at home. I think 1.5.
They got 1.5.
I think it's just a real big. It's a good Monday night matchup. You know, it's one of those games that you don't mind tuning into. Hard hitting Aaron Donald against that 49er. It should be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Jets. Here it comes. Wilson starts. I can't believe I'm excited that I'm going to see Kyle Wilson, but I am. I'm excited because I don't want to see a statue back there. And I know that I was going to pick White to play 2 weeks ago. And unfortunately, the polar bear didn't do what Kev wanted. And unfortunately, I was wrong about White because Flacco did get the win in that miraculous fashion. Mitch Trubisky will probably lose his job if he loses this game and doesn't play well. You will see Pickett take over in Pittsburgh. I'd be stunned if you didn't. The Jets talent-wise are equal to the Steelers offensively, might maybe superior, except for the O-line. The problem is the Jets defensive has not produced the pass rush that we expected to start the season, Kev. We thought that this pass rush was going to be something special, and it really hasn't been.
Yeah, they keep talking about the high draft picks, Lawson, et cetera, and we just haven't gotten to the quarterback.
The kid Jermaine Johnson made a couple of great run plays last week. Outstanding. Yeah. We're just expecting to get to the QB, and that really hasn't happened yet. We never win in Pittsburgh. To win in Pittsburgh, the Jets just don't do that very well. So it'll be interesting to see how this game goes. And then the Giants and the Bears is probably just two bad teams playing each other. You know, they'll be mediocre, but two bad offensive teams, I should say. Both teams play very well defensively. Roquan Smith's probably the best linebacker in the league right now. It's just that, he's got nobody around him. That's kind of where I take it with the NFL, G. Anything with you?
No, that's it. I'm good. Darren, You want to talk a little college football?
Well, I'm going to start with my friend Kev because I go to an Army football game every year, and I love going to West Point. It's beautiful. I've been to Columbus, but I was so drunk I don't remember the experience that much. I've been to Morgantown, which was pretty cool, but I've never been to an SEC stadium for a big game. Kev, tell us about the University of South Carolina. Even though they were playing Charlotte, not a big team, tell us about the experience.
Thank God they were playing Charlotte. 56-20 win by the Gamecocks. They scored the first 8 times they had the ball. The experience, though, is unbelievable. Like you said, Darren, all three of us have been to West Point. We appreciate the marching on of the Corps of Cadets. We appreciate dropping in the parachute with the game ball and things like that. Pales in comparison to what I saw down in South Carolina. The atmosphere, you've got just under 80,000 people in that stand. They come out, well, first off, the pregame, the tailgating, the tents up, you know, hours before the game starts. These college kids know how to tailgate. The experience, they open up, you know, you've got the cheerleaders, you've got the marching band, you've got the great mascot and Cocky, and they come out and the band starts playing. They do all their formations, you know, some of the stuff from the campus. Then they line up with the tunnel and the lights dim, and they create like a tunnel or a pathway, and the players ready at the tunnel, and they start playing the theme from 2001. And then all of a sudden the lights come on and everything, and they charge onto the field.
Sounds awesome.
And the atmosphere, and they've got brand new LED lights that flash South Carolina's colors are red and white. So they flash red and white. Then there's a European techno dance type song called Sandstorm, which came out in 1999.
Well, this is their tradition, though. Sandstorm's their tradition down there.
Started in 2009, Steve Spurrier team. They were playing Ole Miss. Ole Miss was ranked number 4, and they had a chance to win at home. And it was 3rd and 12 with a 1:30 left. And they just randomly, the DJ at the stadium plays this song, Sandstorm, and they come up with a big sack, fourth and 19, force a delay of game, stop them on downs. Tradition was born. And they have now, they'd hand out the towels before the game, the white towels. They've got this whole routine on how exactly to wave them, timed with the beat of the music. The lights are timed with the music. I am so glad I got to experience it. And it was a night game, which really just added to the show. And wow, what a scene.
Well, you know, this is funny because Kevin went down with his beautiful wife for the parents' weekend. And I think Diane might have posted a picture of the campus, but Kev didn't. Kev only still posted pictures of the game. So I'll just put it that way. If you're wondering why we do a sports podcast, the fact is that I don't know. Maybe you did. I saw more pictures of the mascot than the campus, Kev. And you guys are having a great time, and that's awesome. That's why everybody should. I know I want to experience an SEC game. I know that you just did. I'm sure Gino would love to do it. I mean, it's just something that I think we all. The thing about college football that's so different than the NFL is the pageantry. I mean, listen, we've been to West Point and watching the parachuters come in and land at the 50-yard line and watching the cadets walk on the field. It's all very cool and stuff like that. But it's, you know, West Point's a great game because, you know, they run the ball 90% of the time. The game's done in 3 hours. You're in and out. Everything's kind of cool. But the pageantry in the South, this is religion. The state's practically closed for the game. I mean, I was in Columbus, Ohio, and they closed half the city for the game. That's the biggest city in the state of Ohio. So it's just a totally different atmosphere and a different way that of life in the college football country. Congrats. I'm glad you had a great time. The pictures showed it. So that's awesome, bro.
Yep. It was great.
I'm just going to run through a few things, just a couple observations from last week. Like I always point out the teams that paid money and lost, like like the University of Miami, who let the Blue Raiders from Middle Tennessee come in there and beat them 45-31. So you pay a team $1 million, they come in, they beat you, they give you a bad loss, and you're out. Interesting games this week. Last week, Minnesota rolled in East Lansing, 34-7. And that game was 34-0 with like 2 minutes to go. Late touchdown from Michigan State to make it 34-7. This might be the best Gopher team that we've seen in a long time. PJ Flex doing a great job down there. Kansas State went into Norman and beat them again. They beat them 3 of the last 4, 2 in a row in Norman. Adrian Martinez, that was a Nebraska quarterback, comes over to K-State. And, you know, their coach, Kleiman, was the guy that was winning all those titles at North Dakota State, by the way. So he's a pretty good coach at K-State. But that was a huge win after they laid an egg, after they paid Tulane a lot of money to come in and beat them. They went down to Norman and beat them 41-34. Great game. Great end of the game. Quarterback scramble that sealed it. It was unbelievable. Notre Dame right in the ship, Kev. Your team's right in the ship. Now you're a South Carolina fan, but your second team is Notre Dame. You know, they were behind early, but then they kind of went crazy on North Carolina, who was supposed to be a pretty good team, but they beat them pretty convincingly. And then Clemson and Wake go to overtime. You know, I'm a Wake guy. Clawson has never beaten Dabo. It was an interesting play at the end of the game, and it's probably a call that I would have been wrong to do. But Wake, I always feel the better team's going to win the overtime game. So Wake has the ball, I think, at the Clemson 47. I think it's 4th and 4. And I'm saying to myself, you know, you might as well just go for it here, because if you go to overtime, you're going to lose. And they didn't. They punted, and they eventually lost in the second overtime. They're just, you know, Clemson just has the better athletes. You know, you got the 5-star guys against the 3-star guys. The 3-star guys hang in there for as long as they can, but the 5-star guys eventually weigh you down, and that's kind of what happened there. Any comments on any of last week's games before I go into this week's slate?
Yeah, any of that 2-point conversion for Clemson in double overtime?
Oh, you would have got your cover. It was 7.5. And it was 6, and Wake got their hand up and knocked it away.
Both of us.
None of us picked well last week, so it doesn't matter. But
we both had Clemson.
Yeah, I didn't pick the game, but here's the slate for this week, though. Washington, UCLA, both teams 4-0, play Friday night. Kev, you're going to say something? I'm sorry. Yeah,
another interesting couple of games. Oregon holds
Wazoo.
Beats Wazoo 44-41, 29 in the fourth quarter for Oregon.
They came back on them. One was a big a pick six that kind of sealed it.
Texas losing at Texas Tech in overtime. That was two teams from Texas, big rivalry. So that game went into overtime. Last week when we were talking Appalachian State, and I would keep going back to them, they were up 28-3 in the second quarter. James Madison rallies, wins 32-28.
You said James Madison was good, and they are. And they proved it.
Yep.
App State always playing exciting games, though. Every game's close. This week's slate, Washington, UCLA, Friday night. Both teams are 4-0. Washington's ranked 15th. Their best win was the win they had against Michigan State, which now doesn't look that good, that Minnesota went into East Lansing and wiped the floor with them. But we'll see how that game works out. Washington, a 3-point road favorite. Kentucky goes to Ole Miss. Not something you normally see. Kentucky's ranked 7th. Ole Miss is ranked 14th. Two really, you know, new powers in the SEC coming up. Mississippi's a 6.5-point choice at home. Illinois, Wisconsin. Wisconsin, 7-point favorite. It's actually a kind of a big game in the West, because the loser is going to really be looking upstream at probably Minnesota. Yes, Kev.
And Wisconsin coming off the
shellacking.
What?
They got a shellacking.
Yeah, they got shellacked by Ohio State. Surprising it was 21. That big.
I don't even know if it was as close as the score indicates. 52-21 slaughter. So Wisconsin has to right the ship. Illinois has been okay so far. These two teams, Wisconsin's supposed to win this side of the Big Ten. And when they have any kind of little chinks in the armor, all of a sudden Minnesota, Iowa, who also looks like they're not great yet, and Illinois all feel like they have a shot to jump up. And it's going to be interesting to see how Illinois does in Camp Randall. Wake goes to Florida State. Only reason why I'm pointing this game out is that last year, Florida State was 0-4 at this point, and this year they're 4-0. Quite the turnaround. Florida State a 7-point choice. Wake is, you know, they played really well against Clemson. I don't know if they'll be letting down after the, blowing a game that they led against the number five team in the country. But that's team, you know, Florida State's, both of them are actually ranked right now. Rutgers is kind of interesting because they were undefeated last week, and now they're a 40-point underdog this week. That just tells you how good they are. Ohio State's a 40-point choice at home against them. Alabama at Arkansas, 17.5-point spread at Arkansas. The backs are getting the points. Alabama has struggled in this matchup on the road when Arkansas is pretty good, and Arkansas is pretty good. They lost last week to A&M, but this is a pretty big spread to give. Both teams are ranked. You know, Arkansas is still 20th. Oklahoma State, Baylor. Both teams are ranked 16-9. Oklahoma State is 9. Baylor is 16. Games in Waco. Baylor favored by 2. Baylor had a nice win last week against Iowa State. So, you know, let's see if on the road. So let's see if they can keep that going.
Okay.
This week, Iowa State goes back to play Kansas. We talked about Kansas last week. 4-0 now. They beat Duke. Covered. So now what it comes down to is, can Kansas get the 5-0? They're a 3-point dog at home against Iowa State. They have a quarterback, Daniels, who's playing lights out, can throw and run. It's, you know, it's going to be an interesting game. And then the nightcap for me is NC State Clemson, the 10th seed in the country, the 10th ranked team against the 5th ranked team. Is this the year NC State finally breaks through and can knock Clemson off their perch? NC State's played pretty good. They beat that Texas Tech team you talked about a couple weeks ago by a couple touchdowns. They're a good squad. Clemson's good, but you can see the areas. Wake was exploiting them a little bit. NC State's a little more talented than Wake, so it's going to be interesting to see how that matchup goes. But those are the games I'm looking at this week. Okay. A lot of action. I mean, we start conference play now. This is where almost every week – I mean, I know South Carolina doesn't have it this week, but almost every team is really starting to play really heavy in conference play as we go forward.
Okay. We'll move into the picks for college football. Last week, Darren and Kevin both 1-3. Gino 2-3, and on the season, Kevin 3-9, Darren 4-9, Gino 5-9, and Darren also to mention. Last week, you gave us.
I gave you the over.
Make sure you bet the over on SMU TCU over 70.5, and it did go over. It went to 76, so that was a great call.
Got that in the last minute, by the way.
Kev, why don't you lead the way with some college football picks?
All right. First game, Darren mentioned it before, the Friday night game, Washington at UCLA. And you mentioned that the Michigan State win doesn't look as impressive anymore for Washington. UCLA, I don't think, has been that impressive yet this year. They do not have a home advantage at the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl is not a college atmosphere. It is not a home field for UCLA. Spread was 3. I'm going to take Washington and give the points on the road. Saturday matchup out west. Staying out west for this one, a matchup of 3-1 teams. Oregon State on the road at Utah. Utah is ranked, but I think Oregon State, this spread is 10.5. I think it's a little bit too high. I think Oregon State covers the 10.5 point spread. And the third game, Georgia Tech. They are in a mess right now. Athletic director fired Monday. Coach fired on Monday. We saw the last time a coach was fired after a couple weeks was Nebraska, and they came out and laid an egg. I'm hoping that the same thing happens. Big spread, but I'm laying 22 with Pittsburgh over Georgia Tech. So those are my three picks.
Okay. Darren mentioned one of my games start. I'm going to take Alabama -17 against Arkansas. I think at some point they're going to just turn this around and start beating the hell out of people. This probably – I'm hoping this is going to be the first one for them. So that's my first pick. My second pick is going to be Clemson -6.5 at home against NC State. And my third pick is going to be Minnesota at home -12 against Purdue. And like Darren last week, I'm going to give you a bonus over-under. I'm going to give you – Texas A&M and Mississippi State, and I'm going to take the under at 44.5. Darren, picks for you.
Well, you know, Kev, I have five on my sheet. I got to narrow it down to three. Two of them we'd be going head-to-head. So I'm only going to go one head-to-head. I'm going to take Utah to beat Oregon State by more than 10.5. Oregon State played well against USC last week at home. They lost by, I think, six. I think Utah is just a little bit more physical than Oregon State, and I think they find a way to win it by 14. I don't think they blow them out, but I think they win by about 14 in that game. I'm taking Duke, who I hate with a passion, laying 2.5 against Virginia. Duke played really well at Kansas last week. They really did. They lost. They were settling for field goals instead of touchdowns. Yeah, Kev.
Even Duke football?
I hate Duke everything. I felt bad for the lacrosse kids. Outside of that, I'm good. I think that Duke has played really well, and Virginia has not. And I think that Duke will find a way to cover the 2.5-point spread. The third game I'm going to go with, I could go head-to-head with Gino here, but I'm going to go head-to-head with Gino. I'm going to go head-to-head with each one of you once. I'm going to take Arkansas plus the 17 against Alabama. I think that the game will be a little closer than people think. I think that Alabama wins the game like probably 31-21. I just think they're the better team, but I think Arkansas makes it exciting. I think that crowd, much like you saw at South Carolina, is going to be electric as they're yelling Suey all over the place and whatever traditions they do in beautiful downtown Fayetteville, Arkansas. And those are my three college picks. I don't have an over-under this week I love, so I'm not giving it to you.
That's
but I told you that those two teams that score a lot of points when TCU and SMU play.
All right, we're going to move to some NFL picks for week four. Last week, Kevin and Darren went 1-for-3. Gino went 2-for-3 on the season. Darren and Kevin are 4-9. Gino is 2-9. And much like the over-under in college, the over-under Darren gave us last week with the Titans over 45.5, that was over by a little bit. It went to 46, so we did get the win with that one.
And again, it was a late score that gave me that one. At the half, it was like 37, and all of a sudden nobody scored in the second half. Anyway.
Kev, do you want to take the start on NFL week four?
Yep. First game, I'm taking Green Bay at home minus 9.5. Mac Jones is hurt. Brian Hoyer is going to step in and start a quarterback. I just don't see New England being able to score. Packers have shown a proved defense this year. I think they can shut down this bad New England offense. 21-10 very easily, if not more. So I think comfortably Green Bay will cover the 9.5. Second game, I'm taking the Browns as a slight favorite on the road at Atlanta. I've got it 1.5. Again, I think this is just a matchup that the Browns are a better team than Atlanta. Atlanta's been playing tight games this year. Cleveland, 2-1, should be 3-0. We know the game they lost. But I'm going with the better team, and I think the Browns will pull out the win in Atlanta. And the third game, I had a few in mind, and I'm going to go with the Monday night game. I think, again, I'm going small spread. I've got 1.5 or so. I'm going with the better team, in my opinion. I'm taking the Rams. I'm taking the bonus, getting the 1.5. But I think the Rams are a better team than San Fran. Jimmy G, he's got some games where he looks good and some games where he looks lost. And I'm going to count on this being one of the games he looks lost. So those are my three picks.
Makes sense.
All right. I am going with, right off the bat, I'm going with the two big teams that I've been on all year. And one is going to be Philly. I'm taking them minus the 6.5. I think Jacksonville's a good team. I do not think they're going to win by a touchdown. So I don't think that Jacksonville has a chance at this. I think Philly wins this game by 7, 10, maybe 13 points. I'm taking Philly minus the 6.5. My second game is going to be Buffalo. I am taking the Bills minus the 3.5 against the Ravens. A lot of things went wrong for them not to win that game last week against Miami. They ran 90 plays. Other than their guys maybe being tired, I don't see that they're going to lose that game.
Kevin's jumping up and down because the Mets just won and he knows that the Braves lost. Anyway.
And my third pick is going to be Detroit. I am taking the Lions minus the 5.5 against Seattle. I think the Lions are a much better team than Seattle. Much the same like that Kevin took Cleveland. I'm taking the Lions. I think Seattle is just not that good. Those are my three picks for week four. Darren.
The one-man show of Eduardo Escobar continues. Anyway, I had a few games in mind. My top pick is one that I'm going to agree with Gino on. I like the Eagles laying the 6.5 against the Jags. I think the Eagles win this game by 14-17. I could see it being 24-7, 27-10, something like that. I just think that they're the better team. I think Jacksonville, it's a lot of travel on the road. I'm not saying Jacksonville isn't a good team. I think they are. I just think Philly's D-line might punch them in the mouth a little bit and make it a little hard for them. I'm going to go the other way from Kevin, not against you, but you went with the Monday. I'm going to go with the Thursday. That game seems like a trap game. I'm taking the Bengals laying the 4 points. The spread doesn't make sense to me. You'd think the Bengals might be a one-point choice at home, maybe a two on the high end. So you're saying four. How can you bet it? It doesn't agree with you. But they know something. They know something. I don't know. I'm going to take the Bengals laying the four. I know
current line is
what?
Current line is 3.5. So you got to get
even better. I can win with a 4-point 21-17 victory. I'll be happy. I think it'll be a higher scoring than that. I'm going to close with Indy and Tennessee, and I'm going to take the Colts. And the reason why is that Tennessee, despite winning last week and having a lot of things going their way, did not look impressive closing that game out. They just did. Well, Indianapolis, Matt Ryan looks old and all that type of stuff. I just think that they're a better defensive team than the Titans, and I think that at home they'll find a way to win this game by a touchdown. So those are my three picks for the week.
Okay, I got a couple of other player props for you. I know you like Cincinnati, Darren.
Yep.
You can have Burrow over 254 passing yards and Chase to score a touchdown at plus 175. I think that's a pretty good one. In the Cleveland game, and I'm on a big touchdown kick on these player props. Chubb and Pitts to both score is at plus 350. And in the Indy game, which you also went to, you could have Taylor and Henry both to score at plus 215. So just a couple of interesting player props for week four. I thought about a couple of fantasy notes. You know, it's interesting as we are done with 3 weeks going into week four, all the top running backs that we kind of thought about are not there. The top five is Barkley, Chubb, Robinson, Swift, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Taylor isn't there. McCaffrey isn't there. Eckler isn't there. Henry, Mixon, Cook. These guys are not in the top five. It's very interesting right now. On a fantasy perspective, Lamar Jackson is just giving you crazy production from the slot, from the QB position. Allen and Hurts are right behind them, but right now Lamar is just far and away. From the wide receiver position, you know, Waddle, Amon St. Brown, and Kirk are inching into that top 10 right now. The one thing that we kind of saw coming all along has been the tight end position. Andrews and Kelsey are just clearly the top two tight ends still. There's no other way around it right now. Two interesting pickups for this week on waiver wires were Khalil Herbert and Romeo Doubs. If things break their way, I can see both those guys having some impact. But with Herbert, we need to know what the injury status with Montgomery is. And with Doubs, we really need to see if that is going to be the guy that Rodgers throws the ball to. So just a couple of interesting notes on that side. You guys have anything else to add?
Not on the fantasy side, but I did want to touch on one other sport real quick.
Go just for
because
it.
It's coming up. The U.S. men's national soccer team went on a two-game European little trip where they played two friendlies. So the U.S. is ranked 14th in the world as of the latest FIFA rankings in August, end of August. They played Japan, who's ranked 25th. And they actually took three shots, none on goal in that game, and they lost 2-0. Controlled the ball, but they looked overmatched. Then they went and played the 53rd ranked team in the world, the Saudi Arabians, not known as a soccer juggernaut. And they had a scrape together a 0-0 tie where they had two total shots on goal and seven shots overall, while the Saudis had 10. This is probably the most talented team we've seen, the U.S. men's national team. And to them, for them to get two shots on goal in two games is very, very scary. Matt Turner, the one positive, Matt Turner has established himself as the number one. I mean, I know it was supposed to be Zach Steffen, but Matt Turner has really become the best goalie for the U.S. team. But with a team of Pulisic and Weston McKennie and Weah and Reyna and all these Pepe and all these guys, they are not generating any offense. And you know, Berhalter better figure out a way to get something going, because this is going to be a very quick three and out World Cup if they play like they did over the weekend. Any thoughts from anyone else on that?
They don't want to show their hand on how they're going to play.
Listen, I hope that God you're right. Because, listen, I'm not a huge soccer guy. Gino probably watched more European than the two of us combined. But you and I, Kev, are always big in the World Cup.
We're World Cup.
We get involved. Really. Yeah. We watch Gold Cup, but we really watch World Cup. And you know, this is like this is like one of those things. It's not a bad draw. You got Wales to open up. You know, you're not playing against anybody that's dominant. England's the best team in the group. And they just got kicked out of the UEFA Nations thing. They didn't even qualify for the quarters. So you feel like this is a draw where they could get to the round of 16. And right now, if they play like this, they won't get anywhere. They play Iran, they play Wales, and they play England. And you figure they have to be able to win two out of three of those. I don't know, man. It's a little scary.
Two wins you feel like gets them through with no problem. Even 1-1-1
probably gets you through unless you get blown out.
Yeah. And like you said, this should be – you look at that group, it's definitely not the group of death.
No, we were in the group of death a few years back. 8 years ago, we were in the group of death.
Yeah.
We got through Ghana, and then everybody else beat the crap out of us. But this is like – this was disappointing to see. And I didn't watch either of the games live. I saw highlights and the playback afterwards, because they were all on at different times when I was working. But, wow, it was – well, there's no crowd. There's no excitement in the crowd. I get that, but wow. I expected a lot more from this team.
Yeah, more than two shots on goal.
In two games. Boys, do you have any other closing thoughts before we wrap this up?
Mets with a game lead now.
The Mets have the one game lead. Kev's all pumped up. G?
1 week to go with the Mets, so let's hope they hold on.
Yeah, next week we'll do some playoff previews for you. We'll have everything settled by next Wednesday, so that'll be pretty cool. So here we are. We are the Sports Kings from Queens. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, email us to our Gmail, sportskingsfromqueens@gmail.com. You know, share the stuff that we send out. You can download our show on anywhere you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, whatever you like most. All we want to do is try to talk more and more sports to you guys, but it always helps if we know what you guys want to talk about. So please make comments, share it, and we're real excited to be talking to you every week. So without further ado, the Sports Kings from Queens bid you adieu, and may your sports be
this has been the Sports Kings from Queens.